In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's gospel, we see two different miracles, and the circumstances seem to me vastly different from one another. We have a leper who is a man of Israel, I assume, because our Lord asked him to go to show himself to the priest and to make the offering that the law of Moses has commanded. And our Lord treats this man very differently. Yes, they both received what they asked. They came to Christ for a miracle. The leper had his leprosy cleansed, but then our Lord gave him a work to do, some labor to do. Go, show yourself to the priest, make the offering. Now we have a centurion on the other hand, not a descendant of Israel, one of the Gentile nations, one of the Romans. A centurion, he's the head of 100 men, 100 soldiers. He comes to Christ, pleading for his son at home. And our Lord immediately says, I will come and cure him. But this centurion's faith is great. He believes that Christ is God. And he knows that whatever God says is done. He says, it's not necessary for you to come. I'm unworthy that you should come to my house. Just say the word. I'm a man of authority. I understand. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this one, come, and he comes. I say to another, do this, and he does it. I don't need to stand over them and micromanage them. I give the word, my command, and it is done. You are God. You command the sickness, and it will leave. You command health, and it will come. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Our Lord says, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Go, your son lives. The centurion did not have to go and show himself to the priest. He did not have to make the offering that is commanded by the law of Moses. Why? Because he's not bound by the law of Moses. He is not an Israelite. And just a few weeks ago, I had a woman ask me, why is it that non-Catholics don't have to obey the Catholic laws? Why don't non-Catholics have to abstain from eating meat on Friday? Why aren't non-Catholics bound to confess their sins at least once a year? Simple, because they're not Catholics. Well, don't they commit a sin? Well, not in that. If they're not bound to the law, they can't commit the sin when they don't obey that law. That's not to say they're not guilty of other sins. But this is not a sin for them to eat meat on Friday. It is not a sin for them if they don't go to confession. To whom God has given much, much will be required. You say, well, then they've got it easy. Well, they're not in heaven yet. And I would suggest if they want to hear the words our Lord said to the centurion, that they're going to have the faith of the centurion. Our Lord says, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. And I would say those outside the Catholic Church that want to be saved, they're going to have more faith than all of the Catholic Church. But then I suggest to you that if they had this kind of faith, if they truly believed in Christ, then it wouldn't be long that they would want to become Catholic. Because our Lord says you need to be baptized. And they would come forth eagerly, submitting themselves to the law of the church, which is the law of Christ. And I know many outside the church don't want to equate the two, but it is essential. For Christ told the apostles, What you bind here on earth, the laws you make here on earth, they're laws in heaven. What you loosen here on earth, they are loosened in heaven. And so it is not the apostles, their successors, who make the laws, but it is Christ speaking through them. And it is not a burden to belong to the church. It is not truly a burden to be subject to the laws of the church. The world may think, oh, outside the church, they have it so easy. The church has too many rules. There's too many things to pay attention, too many things I have to do. And I would suggest to you the opposite. All these things our Holy Mother, the Church, asks of you, all the laws of the Church, all the laws of God are given to you because God loves you. They're meant to help you and to aid you. They're not a burden, but they are a positive blessing. And now we look at St. Paul's epistle to the Romans today. What is he saying in the passage we just heard read? Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Don't worry about your neighbor. It seems our society today is all pushing, oh, but this one is not fair. This one gets that and this one gets something else. It's not fair that the centurion is treated differently than the leper. Yes, it is fair. God is fair. God is just. Too often what we're looking at when we say something's not fair is we're looking for equality. We want an equal outcome for everyone. And that's nonsense. We're not equal. We're not the same. And the results of our lives, our actions, are not going to be the same. God is good. Perhaps we don't understand it, but we have to accept it. All that God has said and done is good. When God created us, he made us good. You want to know what God's will is? Then look who you are. What did God make you? What is your gender? Not what you imagine it to be, but what is the organs that God has given you? God gave you the boy parts, then you are a boy. You want to please God, then you conform your will to his. I don't care what's in your imagination. To say anything else is a lie. We are different. We should be treated differently. But if we look at God and see that he treats us differently, he recognizes our differences, he rewards us differently, he punishes us differently, we must remember that we are not the judge. It is God who is to judge. It is not up to us to condemn our neighbor, but St. Paul would have us forgive your neighbor. Your neighbor hurts you, do something nice for them. Do something good. Don't render evil for evil, but render goodness, no matter what you receive. If your neighbor is kind, be kind to them. If your neighbor is mean to you, be kind to your neighbor. Your neighbor curses you, bless your neighbor. Do good to those around you. You don't have to consent to their evil. But you have to be careful not to judge them. You don't know the graces God has given them. You don't know what is in their heart or their mind. Only God knows that. And so we must step back and say, okay, that's for God to judge. In my fellow man, I see the image of God. because all men are made in the image and likeness of God, and women. Just to be woke here for a moment. We are all made in the image and likeness of God, and we should see that and treat everyone with the utmost respect as we would treat God himself. And it doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, how they're living, what they believe. They have all been given that grace that they are human beings made in the image and likeness of God. And as far as that goes, they are good. They may be wrong. And if you can see they are wrong and they injure you, that's the time to pray for them. Forgive them. Ask God to forgive them. As our Lord prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Love everyone. Seek good. That's what God, Christ came to this earth for. That's what God wants of us. He wants us all in heaven. He doesn't want to condemn the heretic to hell. He wants the heretic to convert. And perhaps the heretic's conversion is dependent upon us loving him enough to pray. Loving him enough to kindly and gently say, here's where you're wrong. I love you enough to point out your error, your straying away, but I still love you. I want to save you. I want to reach out my hand to help you. And so we must pay attention not to the material things, to the various differences and the various degrees. And I don't want to get into relativism, but a lot of these things are very relative to the person. And we don't know the person. We don't know what graces God has given, which graces he has not given, which crosses, which burdens this person has to carry. We don't know that. We can't know that. But we can love one another. We can cooperate with one another. We can help one another. And we should step back from this anger, jealousy, this pettiness. I don't even want to say it's childishness, because that's an insult to children. We need to step back for a moment and recognize that this is the soul that God has made for heaven. God wants this soul, this person, in heaven. No matter what they've said or done to you or to anyone else, God loves them. God wants them in heaven, and we must love them as Christ has loved us. Now, end with a little story that I read many years ago, so you'll forgive me if I don't get it correct, but there were novices in a religious community. Novices are those who are beginning. They enter the religious community, they are just starting. And in this group of novices, we generally call it a class of novices, much like your class at school, there was a rich man. He was quite a bit older than the other novices. He had lived a comfortable life, but he was ready to turn his back upon this comfortable life and enter the religious life. And the young novices, they were given cells, that's their bedroom, we call those cells. They're very minimal, they're not as comfortable as your bedroom by any means. Each one has his own cell, and his bed is basically the floor. You have a blanket and a pillow. But the rich novice, he was given a straw mattress to sleep on with pillows and blankets. He was given different treatment than the rest of the novices. And one of the poor novices came to this rich man and said, you know, this isn't fair. This isn't right. All the other novices, we are sleeping on the floor and you've got a straw mattress. And the rich man says, yes, you are right. It's not fair, it's not equal. But let me ask you, what kind of bed did you sleep on before you came to the monastery? Well, I was a poor boy and we didn't have much, so I generally slept on the floor. He says, okay, so your life here isn't much different than what it was before you entered. No, not really. He says, but my life was vastly different. I slept on a bed of down with silk sheets and pillows. And now I sleep on a mattress of straw. What did you eat before you came to the convent? Well, we ate very poorly. Is the meals here in the convent worse than what you had before you entered the convent? No, they're probably better. He said, well, I ate off of china with silver spoons and all the utensils, and I ate the finest foods. And now I have sacrificed all of that to eat the plain fare in a monastery. I ask you, have you sacrificed as much as I have? And the young novice has to confess, no, you have given up much more than I have. And so it's not about an equality of outcome. We're not equal. It is about how we stand before God individually. What crosses have we taken? It doesn't matter what crosses our neighbor has. As I've told you before, Christ isn't going to ask us if we followed our neighbor, how we compare to our neighbor's life. He's going to ask, how did you compare to my life? We are Christians. We are followers of Christ. And Christ says, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Come, follow me. Don't worry about what your neighbor is sacrificing or what your neighbor appears to be getting away with. That's not what is important. What is important is what we sacrifice for Christ, what we do for God, and how we treat our neighbor. Irregardless of what our neighbor says, what he does, how he acts, how he hurts us or rewards us, that's irrelevant. Christ has commanded us to love our neighbor. St. Paul is telling us to do good to everyone. Don't do good just to those who do good to you. Don't just love those who love you, but to love everyone as Christ has loved everyone. To see something lovable in everyone around you. And I've heard people say, well, that man is pure evil. I said, you're wrong. If he were pure evil, he'd be in hell. There's still something good in this individual because God hasn't put this soul in hell yet. Maybe he will one day. But then again, maybe this man will convert. Maybe he will be like a St. Paul who went from persecuting Christ to loving Christ and promoting him throughout the world. We don't know. It is not for us to judge. It is only for us to love and to rejoice that God has made us different. that your sacrifices are not my sacrifices, and my sacrifices are not your sacrifices. This whole argument between the genders, the sexes, the women say men have it much easier. I say, well, most women would never be able to bear the cross that a man bears. And I will tell you just the opposite as well. No man could ever bear the crosses that women bear. Who is better? Now you're talking like a child. Neither one's better. They're both defective. Men are defective. Women are defective. How do we remove those defects? By working together. Where a man lacks, a woman excels. What a woman lacks, that the man excels in. And if men and women will work together, they will complete one another. They're not meant to compete against each other. They've got two different vocations. They're meant to work together and complement. And just as I can see this between male and female, I can see it in every aspect of the world we live in. Between the rich and the poor, the employer and the employee, between adult and child, old men and young men, the sick and the healthy, the educated, the ignorant, the tradesmen and the incompetent. They are all made in the image and likeness of God, and we should love one another because of that and strive to bring out the best in each other with whatever gifts, whatever talents God has given us. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.